The needs of the elderly are always on the minds of people at Elder Care Services. Mark Baldino, the president, is with us to talk about that. And another president, the new market president for American Commerce Bank, Johnny Jones, is with us to talk about banking in the modern era. Sondra Brown is here. She's a veterinarian and helping the good folks at CARE with a fundraiser. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
So here we are again, my friend, with this opportunity to talk about the newest, greatest, latest things going on around town. We've got Mark Baldino with us here in the first hour. Many of you know this man, and certainly you know the works of Elder Care Services. What a fantastic organization. Jocelyn Fligger will be with us as well. She's the director of Senior Volunteer Programs. How about that? So between Jocelyn and Mark, we're going to learn about their latest campaign. Their efforts, particularly with fundraising, are coming up in October with something they do annually, their Oktoberfest. This time they're going to be at the center of Tallahassee with that. Mark was telling me that several thousand folks show up last time, so they're expecting a big crowd. It'll be fun. A lot of goodwill. And it helps them do what they do best, and that is to provide all these programs, the services, perhaps most notably their Meals on Wheels program. Yeah. So good work there, folks. Mark Baldino and company. And speaking of presidents, then I've got this young man, Johnny Mac Jones. Johnny Mac, good Southern boy. And he is here to talk about how it is to be one of the newer banks in Tallahassee, American Commerce Bank, with their home headquarters there in South Georgia. They're out of Bremen, just outside of Atlanta, and then I think another branch northeast of Atlanta. And then they came into town here about a year ago and took over what was ProBank. And have been doing well. A lot of good stories coming our way from these folks. And what I particularly picked up on was a different approach in business and in banking, particularly, that I think you're going to find attractive. I always like to talk to folks that are sort of new to town. You know, we've done this now a few times. Skip Foster, when he first got here, publisher over there at the newspaper. And here comes Johnny Mac Jones. He doesn't go by Johnny Mac Jones all the time, but I like to say Johnny Mac Jones, so that's okay. He'll probably just go by Johnny or Johnny Jones or Mr. President. That might work too. But in any case, he's had opportunity to hang out with us for the last several weeks, and we're going to find out what he's learned thus far. I know he's been out there meeting a lot of you folks, especially business owners. That's their niche. They refer to it as owner-managed businesses that are small to mid-size. It's kind of where they want to hang their hat, we'd say. And helping a lot of people that are in those situations, many of whom also are startups, new businesses. And isn't that great news? We live in a time when this community particularly is hungry for, in need of, economic expansion. And to see the growth in the private sector, to see ideas realized and materialized and monetized, whether it's an app like our friend Jide Opiola that was with us last week, talking about app development and his fledgling company there. Well, you know, it's got to start somewhere. Bible says, despise not small beginnings. We shall not. It also says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. So make sure you're paying your people while they're helping you build that thing. It's not a bad idea to pay yourself now and then, if that's possible. But nonetheless, we are here to encourage you all to think wisely as you make your plans. And some of those plans include activities around the community. And boy, don't we have a snootful of those going on. What was I looking at here? Oh, this is from COCA, our good friends. What is it called? Yeah, COCA. Well, you know this, the Council on Culture and Arts. And this comes by way of their newsletter. You can subscribe to this newsletter, by the way. Easy to do that. It's an online thing. They send you in their email. Just do it. So here comes the Purple Willy Jam 2. Activities abound. Presented by the Alzheimer's Association of Central and North Florida. And this is going to be at the Junction at Monroe, also known as JAM. And that's tonight. Yep. And it starts, what time does it start? Opens at 8 and then goes till about 10 o'clock. So it looks like they got three or four different groups that are going to be performing tonight. And all of this is a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association. Good work there. Oh, this is cool. Now, this is an ongoing sort of exhibit at the Museum of Florida History. For all of you who are into quilting, the 34th Annual Capital City Quilt Show, now in progress, presented by Quilters Unlimited, goes through September the 11th. Okay, got to go see that. I'm only giving you the big stuff here. Let's see. Here's a neat thing. This is the Tallahassee Film Society at All Saints Cinema. And I think they close this thing out tomorrow. So you're down to the last weekend. The Train on the Northern Railway. Mm-hmm. So this is a Cuban documentary in which the narrator provides you his railway journey through his childhood and village surrounding and those areas surrounding his childhood home, creating a portrait of the social and political turmoil occurring in the small, forgotten parts of Cuba. Aha! See, these are the things you can't find unless you're looking. You got to look. That's why I'm here to help you. See? Okay, all of this by way of our friends at COCA. I do encourage you to go ahead and subscribe because it's a neat little newsletter that they do. Comes out every week. Tallahassee Arts Guide. Well, folks, you know, we do this because we love the fact that we get to talk about all the cool things happening in Tallahassee. I know Miriam Dady has another guest coming up here in the spotlight momentarily. So we're going to make room for her. And with that, I will also tell you that we're pleased to welcome to the show several new advertisers, not the least of which would be our very own beloved Tallahassee Family Magazine. So Tallahassee Family Magazine is the contribution that we've been looking for to this whole business of local magazine publication, because it tells us the other story, the real Tallahassee, as it's referred to, the folks that are the vast majority of those who are working hard to make Tallahassee what it is, what it shall be, and what it will become. The Tallahassee Family Magazine is on all of those news racks at all the public stores and various other news outlets. Even as we speak, the current issue is full of all sorts of inspiring, informative, educational, amusing even. And the photos alone, from the craftiness of Dave Barfield, the creative director, will have you wanting more. Folks, stay with me. I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by PushTheEnvelope.biz.
Hello, I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a dear friend sitting across from me who is just such an inspiration to me personally, and I think she will be to many of you when you hear her story. I have here Renee Miller with City Walk, which is a mission and a thrift store in Midtown Tallahassee. Renee, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
I love your place. You know I love you. And we were joking just a little bit before the mic was turned on. Do we need another thrift shop in Tallahassee, Florida? Do we need another mission? What is City Walk?
Probably not. but what we do need are we need more thrift stores or more missions. We just need to, everybody as a community needs to do things better and more efficiently, and that's what we're striving to do, is how can we help the most people in the most efficient manner?
Yeah.
And the Lord wasn't lying when he said the poor will always be with you, because it doesn't matter the astronomical numbers that I could share of the people who do get help or have gotten help. There's always so many more that don't get the help or have to wait for the help. And so just to kind of give you a couple of statistics, in the Big Bend area, we have about 5,000 people who are homeless, whether that's for a short time or they're chronically homeless. 20% of that number are children under the age of 18.
20%.
And that could be that they're homeless with their families, at some type of a transition home or shelter. It could be that they are in a program that's just for teens, maybe runaway children, or what have you. But this is the capital city, and we live in America, and there's all of these resources that we have. But that's a very sobering number when you think about just the thousands of people. What City Walk strives to work on, of course, will help anyone who's in crisis. So a couple of the services that we have right there at City Walk in Midtown, other than, you know, people just know it's a thrift store that they can bring stuff or come and shop and get something at a good deal, is the homeless who are in our community can come in there, and we allow them to get things that they need for no cost. They don't have to have an appointment. They come in, and one of us will meet with them if that's needed. And then they get hygiene products, soaps and shampoos and lotions and razors, and then obviously, you know, clothes, shoes, backpacks, blankets, things that they need. And The other services that we provide are for people who are not homeless but in crisis. So, mm-hmm. for instance, we work with some of the places that help moms who are struggling with a pregnancy and they're at risk of homelessness to provide free car seats and baby clothes and things like that, because you really want to support moms who have chosen life. And the other big portion of our ministry is that we run transitional housing for men who come out of prison mm-hmm. with a work and reentry program. Just in the state of Florida and just from Department of Corrections, 22,000 men are released from prison every year. Most are released into homelessness. They have no place to go.
Wow.
And that is not including coming off of community control, or house arrest, local jails, right. county jails, or federal.
Does not include federal
or any local city municipality incarceration. It is just from the State Department of Corrections and just in the state of Florida. And so, you know, nationwide, that number is in 600,000, 700,000, somewhere around there.
And they have to start somewhere.
They have to start somewhere.
They've got to get a job. They've got to get a way to even take care of themselves or contribute to their family. And that's the hole that you fill.
That's the hole that we fill.
You know, what strikes me as you're talking, you talk about 5,000 people in Tallahassee. That number is not just the same 5,000 people.
Right.
There are people coming in and out of crisis.
Exactly.
All the time. It's not just, oh gosh, I gave last month.
Exactly.
We need to be in an attitude that there are people that need our help all the time.
Right. I mean, there's a family right now who they're not, you know, your typical, you know, in crisis homeless. And I don't want to say this blanket statement that people are like, oh, the homeless, meaning right. they have a certain look to them. But this is a family, hardworking, go to church, raise their kids, doing fine. And he loses his job, can't get another job right away. They end up getting evicted.
The bills
continue to come. And if you're working, even if you have a decent income, if you don't have money saved up, maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you have a $1,000 emergency fund, that's not even going to cover your bills for the next month.
Right.
So
right.
now you have a family of four who are facing homelessness.
Wow.
And how do you get them help?
Yeah.
And so, no, it's not the same 5,000 people in the Big Bend area, but there are. It's just a constant ebb and flow of people coming and going.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and tell me about the thrift store, because we pass it every day on Thomasville Road. It's right at the intersection of...
Just north of 7th Avenue in Midtown.
North of 7th on Thomasville Road. Mm-hmm. So right there at Los Robles.
Yeah, it's that weird intersection with all the one ways, and we sit right there in the triangle.
But what I like about going to City Walk is... You drive in from the top, out through the bottom, and I take piles of things that are sitting in my trunk, and I can put them right into your hands, and I can drive out the bottom. And the store is so cool. The way you've got little artsy things, little knickknacks, anything that anybody needs to decorate. We got a lot of influx of college students right now. Are they coming in and...
They are. This is our season to sell furniture. We do have a lot of furniture, and we did run, this week, if you show your student ID from any college, you get 20% off furniture. And then
20% off. Already.
Yeah. I mean, you get a couch
for
$50, and then you take 20% off of that. It's insane.
Yeah,
so we have definitely blessed some college students this week. But every day there's a new special at the store. Like today's Wednesday, every Wednesday, clothes, shoes, and purses are 50% off.
That's great. And I really want to encourage everybody to go look. And something else, when I was shopping with you, this was just my peeve. I'm going to share this on the air. This is a mission. If it says 35 cents, get 35 cents. In fact, get a dollar out of your wallet and give that to them and walk out with that beautiful knickknack that you wanted, right?
Exactly. That is kind of exhausting. It's like I'll be counseling a rape victim and my phone rings. Can we take $5 off of this? And I'm like, please leave me alone. So, yeah.
Oh, no. Well, I wish we had more time to talk. We're about out of our segment, Renee, but I really want people to find you. I know that they know where the intersection is. If they just want to get online and find you, is Facebook the best way? And what do they look for?
Yeah, Facebook.com/CityWalkUM for Urban Mission. We have a website, CityWalkThrift.com. We're on Yelp. So lots of social media that you can find us on. But if you do like us on Facebook, we put up new specials that we're having, any flash sales, and any cute new things that we get in.
So you'll put up pictures, and they can check them out before they drive downtown.
Absolutely.
CityWalk UM is what they're going to search for
on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I just love you. Thank you for being here.
If I can throw out one more thing,
yes.
Just to give you a couple more numbers, is we are actively serving around 400 individuals in crisis every single month out of that little thrift store. Wow. And we have fed and clothed over 5,000 people here in Tallahassee, Florida. Over 25 men have gone through our transitional housing program, and we've sent about 200,000 pounds of clothing to third world countries.
Amazing. You're amazing. You've got a cape. I know you do.
No, it's just Jesus. I hold on to his cape, and I'm along for the ride.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for this week. I am Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Elder Care Services here in Leon County, their mission is rather simple, actually, and it is stated to improve the quality of life for seniors. Well, Elder Care Services gets into that business then of trying to flesh all that out. They provide services that improve the quality of life. They are the area's definitive source of accurate information on aging issues. They have all kinds of programs and services that affect seniors. And in addition, they advocate on behalf of seniors, then working with others to fulfill these unmet needs in our community. It's our pleasure to have with us the president of this fine organization, Elder Care Services, who I guess on a good day is referred to properly as President Mark Baldino. Though I have it on good authority that as long as they don't call him late for dinner, he will be there, because this is a guy who never, ever, doesn't ever not show up when he is needed. His reputation for being proficient precedes him. And I mean, I've talked with a lot of folks who know this organization and who know Mark. He is a loyal person who, rolls up his sleeve or sleeves to get the work done. Let's welcome him to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Brian.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Have I embarrassed you?
Just a little.
Thoroughly good. Okay. We try to do that right up front so that...
Make me relax.
From this point forward, it all gets very sloppy, yeah. And with Mark, we have this lovely young lady, Jocelyn Fligger, who has agreed to, and we don't know what Mark threatened you with to do this, but she's agreed to be here. She's the director of senior volunteer programs. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jocelyn, I want to ask you, am I misinformed? Is Mark really a kind of slacker who just mails it in? I mean, what, he shows up every month to pick up a check, or what's the real story behind this guy?
Mark is the first one in the office and the last one to leave. So he shows dedication every day. Not just at the more visible events that we have, but every single day.
I want to assure you, too, my friend, that she's not reading from a script. So I know that she was not compelled to say such a thing. But that is exactly what I have heard about Mark. My only regret is that I haven't met you sooner, because I think that you and I share a common thread in that capacity. I started Alcom Marketing in 1992 with a microphone, a computer, a 486 computer, I might add. Didn't even have a desk. So I used to sit on my trash can. That was my chair. And there's no substitute, I think, then, for that kind of relentless, visionary kind of determination. That is what you have to carry around with you. I don't know how well you adjust living up to that. Maybe that's more than you expected. But I want to know what drives you. If that, in fact, is the case, and we have good authority, Jocelyn is testifying on your behalf, this is how you roll. Is that a family thing for you? Were you raised that way? I mean, how was that instilled in your life?
Yeah, I guess it's genetic. My father was very committed to the things he did. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, raised six kids, six Catholic kids. Mm-hmm. So we were on time for dinner and on time for catechism and all confirmed and church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we had that discipline and that commitment in the family growing up. Yeah. Very fortunate, too. They were in love for 65 years. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad when my mom died, you know, and my dad, we didn't know how. We first figured he'd never outlast my mother. And then when she died, we didn't think he'd last long. But he had created such a social network for himself, not just people his own age who were dying every day, but younger people who loved to be around him. And I think that's what motivated him, and that's what drives me, because I recognize how important that social aspect is to your quality of life.
He then was your role model.
Pretty much.
He gave you a lot to live with and live for. You were the youngest, oldest, in the middle?
No, second oldest.
Yeah.
Second oldest. 3 and 3.
Yeah?
3 and 3.
That's cool. What part of the country?
Born and raised in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Little town called Asbury Park.
Yeah, there's a few names associated with that, right?
Yeah, well, we were born in the same hospital 2 months apart, actually.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Crazy.
Me in July and him in September.
That's crazy. Jocelyn, you have been with the organization now for a while, and the director of senior volunteer programs. Tell us about that. What does that mean?
Well, we're very fortunate to have 3 grants from the federal government to promote volunteering among seniors. Oh. And not only does it benefit the community, but we find that it keeps our seniors active and happy and healthy.
And in doing that, your primary role is to get people involved with those programs, right?
Absolutely.
So you're recruiting all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
And those activities involve what? What am I volunteering to do?
Well, we have a lot of different opportunities depending on people's interest. Hmm. One of our main programs is foster grandparents. Hmm. So we pair grandparents with children that have the potential to be lagging in school in some way. So perhaps they're eligible for a free or reduced lunch, mm-hmm. or they have a parent that's incarcerated. Mm-hmm. There's something that's prohibiting them from being on the same plane as the other students. Mm-hmm. And we put them with a foster grandparent that works with them one-on-one and becomes a role model, mm-hmm. and a mentor and a tutor. And they show fantastic advancement, not only in academics, but in their social skills, in the way they interact in their home life.
So that then constitutes this notion of quality of life. It really gets into the nitty-gritty of interpersonal relationships. It's beyond just showing up with lunch every day. It's really about how they are able to live out their lives. Is mm-hmm. that the point?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When you hear Mark talk about his childhood and the kinds of values and the ideals that he was granted, how does that affect you?
I am very inspired that I work with a group of people that care so much about what we do, because I find that apathy is often the worst thing for your employment. You know, you want to get up and be motivated to help people. And Mark is the leader in that and sets that precedent for everyone. And we work with a tremendous group of people that really go out and want to help other people in the community.
Mm-hmm. You've been around for quite a while. I don't even recall. When did...
45 years.
45 mm-hmm. years you've been doing this. When you look at the last 10 years, meaning this recessionary period, we'll talk about the economic woes of the last decade or so, huh? How did that impact you, or did it, in terms of people donating to the organization or funding in general? Did you see a big problem there?
Well, I started June of 2012.
Yeah.
So my first Christmas was the introduction of a new word called sequestration. So we were faced right away with a major concern because that was going to impact quite a few meals. We didn't really have the money because I also found out in January that my CFO borrowed $50,000 to make payroll without me knowing it. And so I found out that we were in a kind of a difficult position. We did a few things, rallied the troops, and we were able to pull through it. And we're a lot healthier today, financially and also personnel-wise, than we were, I think, 4.5 years ago.
Folks, I would point to the values and the kinds of disciplines that Mr. Baldino referred to earlier in relation to how he's been able to overcome such obstacles. I think people who were perhaps less disciplined might have grabbed their skirts and run from that kind of a challenge.
I thought about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Well, folks, stay with me. We're going to learn more about these very exciting times with these two very charming people, Mark Baldino, president of Elder Care Services, and Jocelyn Fligler, the director of Senior Volunteer Programs. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Because the truth is, the best medicine is a good, healthy life. It's challenging to do, but there are small changes that we can make.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
People know what to do, but they don't know how to get it done. And even when we know what to do, it's difficult to make it happen. I just know how important it is because I see, as a physician, I know the bad things. And I know it's a heck of a lot better if we can just prevent that. But we got to, you know, we start small and they evolve into bigger changes. If that's exercise, so we offer exercise services, or nutritional counseling and modifying our diet. You know, it's not just about medicine and your cholesterol, but it's about what you do, what you eat, and helping people to see that connection and really make that change.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Mark Baldino, who is president of Elder Care Services. And because when you get to be Mark's age, and I can speak to this very, very clearly because I think I share a vintage there with him, you have to have younger people around you. And so he brought Jocelyn Fligler with him, who clearly is the more attractive, the more intelligent, the more, articulate individual. And though Mark claims that he's hardworking, I want to think that Jocelyn is probably the one that's back there cracking the whip. Come on, we got to get this done. She is the director of Senior Volunteer Programs. Am I correct? Elder Care Services would be in a lot of hurt without the kind of volunteerism that you have available to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those volunteers are not necessarily from one age group or another, right?
Right, right.
Who are these people?
We have a huge volunteer force, and they help us every single day, mostly with delivering our Meals on Wheels. That's what we've been known for. We have about 600 volunteers that take on either a regular route, maybe every Tuesday, or they come in as part of their work crew. So they'll come in. We have some agencies that will send one or two people every, you know, fourth Wednesday and come in. But it's fantastic. You see them drive into the drive, and they have the Meals on Wheels magnets, and they're so excited and ready to go and ready get out there and see their clients on their route.
I recall, too, when the news came that there was this, it was a serious question as to whether you'd be able to continue the Meals on Wheels program, at least in the fashion that you had. Am I correct there?
Well, we had a little bit of a challenge, you know, again, going back to the, you know, the cuts from the federal government. Yeah. But we came up with I had a great energetic director of development. She came up with an idea to have a spring fling called the Soiree in the Park, and raised quick $27,000, which was able to kind of plug the dike.
And that does help when in this town especially, do you find it to be the case, people, when they know you're in need, they will respond. They don't look the other way.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Very, very, very giving community.
Yeah, I've found that to be the case, and we've seen it repeated across various organizations when it turned out that America's Second Harvest was in big trouble and they needed a chunk of change to be able to make this move. Lo and behold, the community stepped up and said, no, we got this. We're going to get it done. And there's a kind of connection there, isn't there?
Yeah, we do a lot of
back and forth
work with them.
Yeah,
they provide us food for our seniors.
Yeah,
And we do all the reduced the school lunches and you know, we provide the summer food program.
I know some folks were disappointed that Rick wasn't going to pursue his bid for city commission, but I think he's going to do well over there.
Yeah, he's well suited for that job.
I think so. He's got a big heart.
Yeah,
smart guy. Well connected. And it's hard to get angry at him. You know, how can you say no to this guy? He needs your help. I have a feeling you're that same way. I think you probably reach out to folks and they would like to say no to you, but they just can't. You're too nice.
Yeah. Sometimes that can be a pest.
Would that be your mother's influence then? We talked about your parental beginnings, you know, your family origin. And coming from this family that was faith-oriented, Catholic family, disciplined family, how does that translate into what you do, even within your own staff, your style of management, I guess, maybe? Or
You know, I don't know how to label myself, but my mother was 100% German. So she was very organized, very disciplined. My father always commented because he was half Italian, so he had the looser side. So maybe that combination of being able to be aggressive yet passionate, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a call for that, I think, nationally. We're faced with all kinds of questions. You just pick one, you know, when it comes down to the rules, and we'll call it the structure and the disciplines required on any given topic. I mean, and I'm thinking particularly of immigration issues versus that compassionate side that says, okay, yeah, but you've got a family here. How are you going to deal with that? I think as Americans, we have a hard time living in the extremes. You know, we like that sense of fair play. We want everybody to play by the rules. But how many of us play by the rules 100% of the time? And when is it that you can step in and say, okay, we've got to adjust here? When you look at the way in which you've implemented this organization, where are those places that you have to make those adjustments? Because you have rules, right? So where do you go to make those adjustments so that you can accommodate the needs of those you're serving?
Yeah, part of my challenge is getting my employees to stop going in their pockets because they don't make enough to begin with.
Yeah.
But I find that they'll reach into their pocket to help somebody.
Just to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see.
Yeah.
And we have to make decisions sometimes that aren't in the rule book.
Right.
And we have to pay somebody's bill because we feel that he may do something to himself.
And where do you go for that? Yeah, it comes out of that general.
We go to our operating account, and we hope there's enough in there.
Right.
And you just you have to get creative too. We do all sorts of little fundraisers to try to raise money for our pantry, and we have an amazing man that we work with that if he hears about a lift chair that someone doesn't need, he will drive out and get it because he knows inevitably someone will be looking for that.
I know. So, let's do a fundraiser right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is how this works. Okay. I got my pen right here. Mm-hmm. You hear it? See, there's my pen. And I've got my checkbook. Great. Put the pen on the check and write it to Elder Care Services. Is that right, Mark?
That's correct.
Okay. Any particular amount of money?
Anywhere from $10? $1 to $100,000.
$100,000. All right. Just put a couple
we'll
of zeros.
We'll limit it to 100.
Yeah. Mark will fill in the decimal point. How about that? Put a one and then several zeros. How about that? That's easy, isn't it? That's the easy part, is to say, here's a check for. But then it comes down to how you work that out. When you're out there day after day after day, and the programs that you do operate, you get tired? You get worn out with that? Where do you go for that revive?
You know, I think we get it just by the comments and the reactions we get from families and from clients.
Yeah,
I get voicemails all the time left for me about people that work there, and they'll say that you know, they would never made it without Ed or without Josie or without Vicky or one of the folks who stepped in and, you know, gone way above
right
and beyond.
If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? Can you imagine? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
It's hard to say, isn't
it?
I have no idea.
You're so embedded in this whole thing. Folks, this is what makes this town work, because you have people who are so absolutely passionate about what they do. Mark has said, this is a very giving town. Congratulations, Tallahassee. You're doing a good job. Elder Care Services. Mark Baldino, the president, and Jocelyn Fligler, Director of Senior Volunteer Programs. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You stay with me. I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're excited to have with us here in this hour the likes of Johnny Jones, who is the new market president for American Commerce Bank. He's got a great story to tell. A family man. He's got four kids and his wife. They all moved over to Tallahassee. Having left a rather promising career in banking, a position, I should say, hasn't left banking, but left what was a corporate environment for him, very large bank, in favor of a smaller situation. Happens that American Commerce Bank found him and encouraged him to look in their direction. And we're going to find out from old Johnny Jones what he likes about Tallahassee and what it is that the banking industry is trying to do to make it easier for us to save and invest and earn on our savings and borrow money and build a business, all those kinds of things that we do. And how American Commerce Bank individually, particularly, is involved in that whole process. They have a very different approach. What I think of is kind of the old way of doing banking. I mean, I was a young man at one point when my wife and I got our first house. And I won't say that we did it on a handshake, but it certainly was a lot less complicated. And when I was out of work, the bank then put us on a deferment program. So we were not required to make our mortgage payment for 6 months. And we were not in default. It was something that they had institutionalized there with the particular savings and loan that I was dealing with. I was scared to death because I'd been working for this company and they fell on hard times and I was out of work. Went to see my banker about this new mortgage that I had just signed a few months earlier. And they're like, oh, no, it's going to be okay. You're going to get back on your feet, and we'll give you 6 months, and you'll be fine. And can you imagine a bank doing that now? Yeah, right. I mean, foreclosure has become the other F word in our
vocabulary of late, but wow. No, those are days that are long gone, except I think that while that may not fit the current structure of things, there's certainly a heart, an attitude that I'm finding among some of these folks, and I think Johnny Jones is one of them, who wants to find a way to make it work, and more so for the betterment of the customer than necessarily the organization. That's also, I think, a rarity, to find people who really are other-minded rather than self-minded. Yep, and we got a bunch of those kind of folks here in Tallahassee. John Brown is one of those kind of people. Scotty Barnhart, they were with us last week talking about this upcoming Florida Jazz and Blues Festival. Fantastic. What a great work. What a great contribution to our landscape, right in there with the center of Tallahassee. By the way, did you catch that? We had Mark Baldino with us in the first hour. He's the president of Elder Care Services. Well, their fundraiser, Oktoberfest, is at no other place than the center of Tallahassee. Yeah. How cool is that? So you've heard me say this now. When you get busy and you start creating opportunity for yourself, you create opportunity for other people at the same time. And the whole creative process tends to be synergistic, right? One hand helping the other. And so it goes along the way. We've got Sandra Brown coming up here shortly. She's going to talk with you about their fundraiser, which is coming up not long from now. I can't remember which, but she'll tell us. But this is an organization that's all about caring for injured animals that are otherwise going to be euthanized. And she and a bunch of other vets got together and said, hey, we can do better than that. It's a good idea. And our own little Ziggy here is an example of an animal that was injured. So he is now our favorite corgi, Ziggy the three-legged dog. What a sport he is. So you see, folks, when you have an idea and you begin to run that idea out there and you get people involved, more and more good things start to happen. So I encourage you to think about that this weekend, how you can participate in some of these activities, how you can support some of these organizations. You know, give old Johnny Jones a call over there at American Commerce Bank and find out what he's all about. He's an Alabama boy. We won't hold that against him. Roll Tide. But I did give him an FSU mug. You'll be happy to know that I did that. Just because, you know, sitting in his office, he can't be having, you know, Alabama football stuff hanging up there. He's got to think about where he's living now. So he's got his FSU mug there sitting on his desk. Made sure of that. Go Noles. So what else is going on? You know, I wanted to tell you this other thought, too, and just me randomizing here. This business of giving people what they want versus what they need. We have found ourselves in the news lately arguing with one another over everything from immigration right down to whether or not kids should be required to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you didn't catch that news, our own Micah Breenan was in the news this week. Randy Breenan, his father, and I go back 30 years. Many of you know Randy and Debbie Breenan, fantastic artists. Well, here comes Micah, who looks at this notification that was sent from Leon County Schools to the parents. And so his sister-in-law writes on there, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, I'm very ashamed of this. Well, that hits the waves and ends up becoming a topic at Fox News and other places on the web. You know, okay, so we got the story. The point I was trying to get to is this ability for us to disagree, to dissent, this freedom we have, which is worth fighting for, and many have fought and died to defend the very freedoms that others then are able to take advantage of, including are they free to say, no, I don't agree. I don't want to pledge allegiance to a flag. It's a tough one. but they're free not to vote. They're free not to agree with the dominant political persuasion of the day. They're free to say what they will within, you know, most guidelines. You can live out that freedom in such a manner that you are individualized. You're not simply part of a collective. I think that the counterbalance to that is where the collective itself is allowed to be a collective. Okay, so it's okay to be dominant in some way, fashion, or form. It's okay to have a group of students say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag," while we at the same time, we're not forcing anybody to agree. I think that's where you're getting the kickback. I think it's that not only is it everybody's constitutional right to dissent, it is also the right of the majority to be in the majority and to express that opinion, though it may not be accepted by all. Well, my friend, I would say to that, let us continue to sojourn in our efforts here in this fine town of Tallahassee to dialogue more, to have those conversations that we enjoy having here as we learn more about one another and the things that we think are important. Whether we agree or not, let's make sure that we're a part of the conversation. You stay with me, folks. We've got Sandra Brown coming up here to tell us about care in just a minute. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
The Companion Animal Rescue Endeavor, affectionately known as CARE, provides a number of very important services. It happens that CARE is the only 501c3 nonprofit organization that is dedicated solely to the treatment, rehabilitation, and adoption of sick and injured companion animals. We have with us board member Dr. Sandra Brown, who's going to tell us a little bit more about CARE and an upcoming event. How are you?
I am doing great.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You got a fundraiser. What's it called?
We do. It's called CARE Casino Night.
Ah, okay. Tell us about Casino Night.
This will be our second year. The first year was such a wild success, we decided we'd do it again. And so it's set Friday, September 16th at 7 p.m. Yeah. at Shiloh Farms.
Ah.
We're going to have an actual professional organization come in with their roulette and poker and all kinds of, we're going to have a money tornado, there's a wine toss, casino war, blackjack, crap, everything you could want is going to be, and they have their own professional tables. So.
Right. Is this your only annual fundraiser?
It really is our only.
This is a big deal for you guys.
What we do, this is run through several area veterinary clinics in the Tallahassee area. Hmm. We take in the significantly injured, sick, orphaned animals that a traditional rescue couldn't handle.
I'm reading that from your brochure here. This says that CARE's mission is really unusual. It's very unique. And this says that it was founded in response to an obvious need in our community to prevent the inevitable euthanasia of wonderful dogs and cats needing medical or surgical care. In fact, our mascot here is a little dog named Ziggy.
who is a three-legged dog and proud of it, I might say.
Yeah.
Yes. And Ziggy, Carl, what kind of dog is Ziggy? That's a corgi.
A little corgi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Ziggy, corgis are apparently very affectionate anyway.
Mm-hmm. And they shed a lot.
They shed. And I've noticed that when I wear my black suit, cannot hold Ziggy on black suit day. Okay. Well, anyway, so I have a personal connection then to the significance of your work.
We just so happened to have to perform emergency surgery yesterday on a kitten named Monty, who is now three-legged also. Monty had been, he was in a home, and he was played with a little too roughly by the family pit bull, and it resulted in a really terrible fracture of his leg, and the owners couldn't care for the kitten, so they signed him over to Northwood Animal Hospital, and he was deemed a good candidate for care. So he had emergency surgery. We did have to amputate his leg because we couldn't fix it. And Monty's in recovery now, and once he's healed, we'll
put him up for adoption. When is it determined that you cannot repair a broken bone and you have to amputate? Is the bone is shattered?
If the bone's shattered, if it's infected, you know, sometimes you can repair things, but the end function isn't going to be adequate. Mm. You know, we don't want to fix it and have the animal still be in chronic
pain. When I was a kid, we had a little golden retriever who fell off the back porch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this porch was a good 20 feet, it's like from the second story of the house, down to a concrete patio, both front legs. And they were able to save her legs. They had her in a... you know, splints, I guess, cast, whatever. The most hilarious part of that was that as she recovered and nearing the time when she would be free of these impediments, she learned how to skate. and we thought that was even more adorable. So she would skate around the kitchen floor linoleum, right?
Yeah.
When you talk to the families of these pets, what happens? Are they...
Well, most of the animals don't have owners. I would say the majority of them are strays that come in that are hit by, and maybe they had an owner and the owner doesn't, you know, they don't reclaim them.
So we need to help you fix that too.
Exactly. Okay. So a lot of them are strays that were found that were hit by car or orphan kittens that are only 2 or 3 weeks old and need to be hand raised, and it takes a significant time allotment for that. Some of them are owner relinquished that the animal just has injuries and will have ongoing medical needs that are just over and above what the owner, you know, we do everything we can to keep them in the home if there is a home. There's all kinds of financing options we have, but sometimes it's just not meant to be.
So the point of care then is to provide the medical services and also then to provide the funding needed to provide those services.
Correct.
So that all doesn't fall back on the particular hospital or the practitioner, and you yourself are a veterinarian.
Yes.
With two different, Northwood and Southwood.
Northwood Animal Hospital Southwood Animal Hospital. Right. Yeah. All veterinary clinics take their charity cases and fix the little strays and the orphans.
So they do with their part.
But it's limited to, because this is very expensive medications. We're talking about blood transfusions and pinning legs and doing abdominal hernia repairs. So these are pretty major medical and surgical cases. Yeah. You know, if it's a healthy kitten.
There's Ziggy right now.
Hi, Ziggy.
He heard you talking.
And I'm not even wearing the white coat and he knows I'm a vet.
It betrays you.
Healthy puppies and kittens that come in, that's not what CARE's for. Those animals can be better served by a traditional rescue group or a shelter situation. We take the broken ones, we fix them, and we find them good homes.
Okay, so folks, the organization is CARE, Companion Animal Rescue Endeavor. How long have you been around?
We organized in 2011.
Okay.
So started out of Northwood Animal Hospital. And Northwood, I'm sure there's people out there listening who are like, hey, I adopted my animal from there 10, 15 years ago.
Yep.
We turned what was our Good Samaritan program and organized it into CARE.
Okay.
And then other hospitals have been joining us. So.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, in fact, Ziggy, I think they found him at the animal shelter over here. And best they could figure out, he had been abandoned,
And probably then injured and left at a roadside somewhere. Mm-hmm. But good old Zig, he pulled through.
Yeah.
And we like to say that there are many others that CARE is able to help because you and I are helping them. What else can we do for you?
Yeah, we've served over 80 animals just this year. Currently, really? In our CARE program, we have one mama cat who is nursing three foster kittens. She's finished her own litter, and she's actually nursing other kittens. We had a litter earlier in the year where a mama poodle nursed a litter of kittens. They were in the Tallahassee Democrat recently.
That.
Yeah, that was us. We have 8 older kittens and 7 dogs. So a total of 19 are in the program just today.
Fantastic.
So there's always, we're trying to find, we need to make room though, because I can't bring in new until I find homes for the old.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You can see a list of the pets that are available adoption, and they're not put up for adoption until they are ready.
Right.
They're spayed, neutered. Dogs are heartworm negative. Cats are feline leukemia FIV negative.
Yeah.
They're vaccinated, microchipped, and current on their vaccine. Now, if they're little itty bitties, they may not have completed their vaccines,
right.
But they're current on their vaccines
right.
and deworming. But it's on our website if you want to
okay,
see the pets available.
That's careintallahassee.org.
Yes.
Simple enough. Careintallahassee.org. The
Make
organization.
Sure you spell Tallahassee right.
Yeah, you got to spell Tallahassee correctly. That's right. Careintallahassee.org. Companion Animal Rescue Endeavor, CARE, and our guest this morning, Dr. Sandra Brown. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have been in business for any length of time, and I have, or if you have ever thought about starting a business, and I have, then you're like me. And in that capacity, you may have found yourself looking for help among those banking organizations, those banks in our community that are business friendly. Well, it turns out that I have found a very interesting contribution on that level. And in that conversation, I have met this young man who got my attention. Because I find his approach rather refreshingly different, unique. In fact, it reminds me of the way banking used to be honest with you. So I started my company 25 years ago when I bought my first house, the house that I'm living in now. That was in 1985. Banking was different then, but banking people were different then, it seems to me. So here comes Johnny Jones, a small town fella out of southern Alabama, marries his college sweetheart, 4 kids, and I'm sure a mortgage and maybe a few pets along the way, makes his way to Tallahassee. And he does so as the new market president for American Commerce Bank, and he is our guest. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Brian?
I'm well. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it.
It's a conversation I've been wanting to have because we've had conversations with a lot of people in banking and finance and accounting and, you know, CPAs and all kinds of folks who are involved with money, the management of, the presentation of lending opportunity. Those who find themselves hamstrung many times, circumstantially, either because of regulations or because of the qualifications that this borrower needs to be able to present, you know, it's not an easy match to make. So how is it that you, from my understanding, had this really great job working in a very big corporate banking environment, and you decide to come to Tallahassee and go to work for American Commerce Bank? Tell us about that.
Yeah, just got the opportunity to come with a smaller organization where I can actually sit across the table from, you know, the business owner, and just I know what I'm doing. I can actually present a solution to them from what they've told me they need, and I can get it done. And that's what I was looking for in my career, mm-hmm. is to have the power to actually make things happen for the business owner and actually give them a solution for their need.
That's kind of your niche too, isn't it? These owner-managed businesses that you talk about. You've been here all of about 2 or 3 weeks, and you've met a bunch of them. What do you find about Tallahassee business owners?
What I've seen so far is it's a group of people that are used to rolling up their sleeves and getting the job done and not just being the business owner that sits behind the desk. Uh-huh. They get involved with their business. They do everything from, you know, answering the phone to obviously having the strategic plan to get, you know, the job done to make the money that they need to make. But that is what American Commerce is about. We're looking for business owners that maybe are going to pass it on to the next generation. They're looking for solutions in this trying time. Obviously, everybody needs to be more efficient, try to find ways to stretch their dollar. And that's what our job is to try to help them and to be an advisory role for that business owner. Not just be a yes man, not just, hey, here's the idea I have, but maybe add value and actually come up with a new plan that maybe they haven't thought of.
And for you in banking, that seems to me to be a more challenging kind of task, given the last 5 to 10 years of banking regulations and the new playing field, we'll call it, huh? So is it harder for you to be what you want to be for these folks?
It is. But at the same time, I feel like my role is to also make that something that they don't have to see. They've got enough to worry about. My job is to not tell them how hard my job is, but to try to make their job easier and to give them one less thing to worry about. With my experience, I can come up already with solutions that they need, but at the same time, go ahead and give them, hey, I need this information from you, and not to say, well, regulations requiring this. Business owners don't want to hear that. They have enough to worry about without understanding what our regulations are.
I got you. So when you think about that, what's the hardest part, do you think, about being in business for yourself?
I think it's finding the right people, finding people to do the job, finding people that they can, I don't want to say trust, but finding people that they can train that will get the job done.
And that's, stay with them.
And stay with them. Yeah. You're right. That's a big issue. Yeah. Nowadays, people are always looking at the grass is always greener on the other side. So
we talk to clients all the time here who are out of their minds trying to find qualified people who will work with them, right? And even those who may not have the particular skills, but they're willing to train and then be able to keep them without them jumping ship. It's ridiculous. And so they're almost afraid to hire anybody because they're going to put out all this time and effort and then find that employee is out the door inside of 6 months or something. So if that's the case, you've been able to find yourself in this capacity now as market president, talking with these business owners. Are you plugged into some of the resources as a bank that they're going to need beyond just the customary lending opportunities? What are some of the ways that you can help a business owner, do you think?
Yeah, the more I get entrenched in this community, the more I'm going to be able to use my different connections to maybe try to help somebody with, hey, I'm looking for an operations manager, or hey, I'm looking for this type of employee, and I can maybe try to also help them with, well, I know this person, you know, through maybe my, you know, hey, I'm at the ballpark or I'm at church, just from all the different connections and all the people that I'm getting to know in the community. I can try to help that business owner with saying, hey, I know Sally, or hey, I know Tom.
Yeah. And that's familiar to you because you grew up in a small town in southern Alabama. Where are you from originally?
Well, it's actually central Alabama.
Oh, yes.
Right outside of Birmingham.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
I had you down there on the border for some reason. I know why, because you were talking about spring break earlier and going down to the beach. So I had Mobile in my head. I don't know. Montgomery, maybe. So Birmingham, central Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Went to school there. Met your wife there, your college sweetheart, right?
That's correct.
And you guys have been married how long?
We've been married for 16 years.
Four kids.
Four children.
What do you like most about Tallahassee?
it seems like it's a very welcoming community for families. There's a park, I think, every other street. We were blown away with our park and recs department that we have here in Tallahassee. A lot of different activities for children, a lot of different activities. I think everybody in town jogs that I saw.
Or plays golf.
Or both.
Lots of golf tournaments. So in that capacity, you find yourself well-suited because I know you played some baseball coming through high school and college. You played on a college scholarship there, playing some ball. And your kids are involved in sports, aren't they?
They are. My daughter plays volleyball, and then my oldest son plays baseball, football, and basketball. Mm-hmm. And then the two babies, we don't know what they do yet. We're thinking one's going to be a dancer and one may play a little baseball, but we'll see.
Folks, we're talking with Johnny Mac Jones, a good man who has come to our fair city with fair intentions, I think, some good ideas about reclaiming some of that old way of doing business, a handshake, a phone call, a visit. I kind of like that, Johnny. I think we're in need of that kind of connection that I knew when I was a younger man, first getting started here. Folks, you stay with me. We're going to learn more about American Commerce Bank and Johnny Jones and all good things that come our way here in Tallahassee. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Johnny Jones. He is the market president for American Commerce Bank, which began in a little town, Bremen, Georgia, kind of southwest of Atlanta, right?
Correct.
You have a single owner for this bank, shareholder. That's a different environment right there. I mean, this is not a big, you know, multi-state, federal, corporate kind of situation. And you've got this branch here in Tallahassee, right up there on Monroe Street, Bremen, your headquarters, and then this other branch that you've opened up, I guess, northeast of Atlanta.
Correct.
In Johnsboro? Is that what it
Johns Creek.
Johns Creek. So when you think of the way in which the bank has grown, it's been kind of slow and steady. It's not a fast track, is it?
That's correct. Mr. Colburn is looking for steady growth, is the way he puts it. We're not looking for one big quarter. He's a very conservative, very steady growth owner, and that actually attracted me to American Commerce Bank. It's a unique situation. I have obviously his support. He thinks Tallahassee is a growing market. That's kind of been given my action plan, is to just try to gain some market share in a growing market. Obviously, we have some great universities here that are attractive to it's a different market, and that's what American Commerce is looking to do.
And you had this background in banking. How did you get started in banking, I guess?
I got started in like a management trainee program with a larger organization, and it gave me kind of a feel for all the different aspects of banking, retail, trust, loan review, credit analyst. And from that, I kind of really saw that I wanted to be a commercial lender.
Right.
And that's what I kind of went to. Did credit analyst for about 2 years. Kind of got some background in credit and also how to underwrite deals. And then from there, got my first lending position. And that's what I just love to do. I love to hear from a business owner how they make their widget or how they make their business turn and how they actually make a little money. And that's just fun for me to watch.
Business owner calls you. They want to talk to you immediately. They're in a crisis situation. Maybe they've found themselves upside down in a deal that didn't go the way they meant it to go, and they've run out of cash. They're in a cash flow crunch. How do you handle that? What do you say to them?
What I would say is, yes, let me come out there and talk to you. I would meet them at their office. Try to really listen to the situation, try to come up with two or three solutions from that situation, and hopefully become an advisory role to them and not just, hey, yes, man, or hey, we can lend you some more money, but actually uncover what is the need there.
And help make those discoveries. On the other side of that frantic situation, there's the more stable that says, I've got couple $100,000 over here in a CD, what would you say to that person? They might be looking to make a little bit more money on their money.
Well, that's a great point. I think American Commerce Bank is right now doing a 2%, 60-month CD rate. So we do have the higher rates in market. We're looking to grow our market deposit share base. We've always been a higher interest rate on our deposits, so we do have that ability to bring that over if somebody's looking for higher interest rates.
And that has become, I think, part of the whole landscape with American Commerce, that it's about greater productivity. It seems to me that's where you're growth minded and you're trying to invest then that same mentality in helping businesses and even individual consumers do better, right? Grow more, and not settle for the status quo. Regulations make that more difficult, do you think?
A little bit. I mean, we're obviously limited just like any other organization with regulations, but with us having only the one shareholder, we can be a little bit more creative, and we're not looking for a certain return above a certain each quarter.
Okay.
So we can think outside the box there.
And how are lending decisions made?
Lending decisions are made locally. We do have an advisory board after obviously the local decision's made that will review that decision, but it is a local decision.
When you were looking at Tallahassee, what did you know about Tallahassee before you got here?
Obviously, the football team was the first thing that comes to mind, and the baseball team. I knew a little bit about the success that both those programs have, and then
Buster Posey, man, he played for Florida State football, baseball.
Yeah, you're right.
Mike Martin, he's been there all these years. Don't you love Mike Martin?
Of course, I do. And then obviously Bobby Bowden and Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. Do you think that Tallahassee has more to offer than just a football team?
I do. I think Tallahassee has obviously is a great community for a family, and we're already seeing that. We've only been here a month, but we're seeing that it's a great place to raise a family. It's centrally located to several different other opportunities as well outside of Tallahassee if you want to go for different entertainment, that kind of thing. But there's also a ton here to do in town that we're already seeing.
It certainly hasn't come without a great deal of effort among folks, both in a public capacity, those who are in leadership, as well as the private sector, those trying to make Tallahassee more attractive, I think, in retaining a creative class of individual or retaining those who come here to go to school. If you're looking at a young fella or a young woman who says, hey, I'd like to get started in business, what would you say to them?
I would say they're in the right community, and that's a great point that you bring up. That's what I'm interested in, is obviously a father of four children. I don't want to have to raise them here, educate them here, and then them leave. I want them to have opportunities and maybe stay near me so I can watch the grandkids down the road. But that is what I would tell somebody that's looking to start a business, that this is a good market for that. Yeah. There is definitely need for small business here in this market, and I'm already seeing that the market is receptive to new businesses.
Yeah,
I'm seeing them open up daily.
Yeah, we've had recently some of the folks that we talked to, Jide Opiola, who was here last week. Nigerian born, grew up in the United States, moved here when he was 7 or 8 years old. Very articulate young man. He's an app developer and has started his own app development company, has contracted with several folks, but none in Tallahassee specifically. So my question is, what can you think of that maybe American Commerce Bank can contribute to help us grow that out so that more people are going to be looking in his direction and say, hey, we'd like to have you build an app for us, you know?
Exactly what you said. I think with the relationships that I build, hopefully I can connect him to some of those organizations and say, here's something a little bit outside the box that maybe you haven't thought of in the past, that, you know, maybe is a chance for you to grow your market share and to grow into a different revenue stream that you didn't have in the past.
Gotcha.
So that's a great point. But at the same time, I want to see the community grow. I want to, like you said, I want to see more opportunities for the, you know, mid 25 to 35 range business owners to grow this market.
Yeah. Right there with you, brother. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Brian.
A pleasure. Johnny Mac Jones, Market President for American Commerce Bank, our guest. That's what we got for you today, my friend. Thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure to have you listening in here at our home station, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, or on moosemagnificat.com. We will be back here again next Saturday. I'll be looking for you. We are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. You be back here because I got more of what Tallahassee's talking about. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.